Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Doing some phenomenal stuff. So you can see behind them the book Unhackable. I have it right here as well. It's a fantastic read. And I want to dive into that, Carrie. First of all, welcome. Thanks for being on.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for all that you do just to push performance higher.
Yeah, man. No, it's I've learned a ton from you. It's always good to bounce ideas off each other. And man, I'll tell you, it's such a solid read. And I think in this time, I mean, obviously we're dealing with this pandemic. So I just want to ask you first and foremost, what is Unhackable?
Yeah, so most people are very comfortable with the term getting hacked, but they use the term in reference to computers getting hacked, bank accounts getting hacked, identity getting hacked. And those things are all scary. And it means to gain unauthorized access to a system or computer. But what's even scarier, John, is when our brains get hacked. And you really understand that this is possible. It's not just a play on words. It's possible when you realize that our bodies are made up of systems, circulatory, respiratory, pulmonary, and our brains are like supercomputers. So anytime someone or something gains unauthorized access to our brains, we get hacked. And that's happening all the time. The average person touches, clicks, swipes, taps their phone 2,600 times a day. And we are now focusing, the average person, 11 minutes a day. So most people's lives are not like, hey, I'm getting productivity done. And every once in a while I get hacked. It's your whole day is hacked. And you're rarely getting a few minutes of focus. So we've flipped it. And part of the reason why this has happened is because human knowledge used to double every 1,000 years. Today it doubles every 12 hours because everyone is a YouTube creator. Everyone's a blog creator. Everyone's a podcaster. Like the amount of knowledge is just exponentially growing. It's actually outstripping our productivity. We it's pollution. We can no longer have the right ability to reach and say, well, what is relevant, what is not. It's just coming at us. Every app comes with push notifications. We have beeps, buzzes, swipes. I'm wearing a wearable. You might be wearing a wearable. We have rings now. And so we literally have said, whereas tools used to be something we used, now tools are using us, and the social dilemma just shows this.
All right, so first off, there's a lot to unpack there. When I just wrote down 11 minutes a day, is that true? We focus 11 minutes a day.
Focus 11 minutes a day. And the reason why is because Cal Newport, with his book Deep Work, talked about distracted work and deep work. The problem is that it takes so long to focus. Meaning I could be absolutely focused. You're at a cool space today where you're focused. But even though your space might be focused, you might, they've done studies that say a smartphone upside down with the screen down has a psychological pull to you. Unlike a hammer. A hammer is a tool, but a hammer is not in a room pulling your attention. Why? Because you pick up the hammer and it's a hammer. Your smartphone's wired in a way like a slot machine. Just like you pull down the hammer and you might win, you now pull down your smartphone to scroll. You might get notifications. You might get beeps. And the randomness of this allows dopamine hits. Because you don't know if you've gotten one and you don't know if you haven't. And so therefore, it's this psychological pull that draws you to lose your focus. And then attention is a finite resource. So attention used to be this thing where there weren't many distractions, like three channels on TV, right? Or you have to hear the phone ring. Now you have a device in your pocket that's no longer 5 feet, you know, it's literally not even 5 feet away from you. But what happens, John, is that when you do get distracted, even though you got distracted, your it's called attention residue. And the attention is now on that task, and then you go to the next task, and part of your brain power is still on the previous task. So they call this attention residue. Even people who say, oh, I can multitask, that would assume that you can go here, cut, but all the research shows that you actually leave part of your attention here, and then you're over here, and part of your attention's there. So your attention gets fragmented. It's kind of like the sun, where why is a laser powerful? Because it's taking energy and it's putting it into a complete focus. And we are literally diffusing our focus, just like a light that gets diffused. And now we no longer have this ability to make an impact because it's been so diffused.
So what do we do is the question, because I see you with your smartwatch. I have a smartwatch,
yeah.
which is great. Mine's a Garmin. I don't have the Apple Watch. My text notifications and emails, and I do a pretty good job. I don't have the notifications set up, and we use Outlook. But I'd be the first to say this thing it's great in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
I travel a lot, or did travel a ton on business, not as much now, but. And this is a computer in your pocket. It's an amazing piece of technology, but I totally get it. It's also the biggest hindrance. I mean, I find when I'm at home, to your point, I can't have it around me if I'm going to be present with my family. I literally have to lock it away in my office,
right.
And not just like on my office desk. I feel like that's not good enough. I got to put it in a drawer and turn it off. And then something usually clicks where I just don't even think about it. But even if it's on my desk or, I mean, God forbid, in the kitchen on the island or something, man, every time I walk by, it's a pull. And I feel like I'm pretty good at it, and I'm still getting crushed by it at times. So, what do we do?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Until you realize what your boon is, and we'll describe what that is, until you realize what's at stake if you get hacked, you don't care. So let me say that again. Like, if you don't know what your boon is, you actually invite distractions. So boon is a term that comes from Joseph Campbell, hero with 1,000 faces. He looked at every culture. He was an anthropologist and said, what is the universal story that's true about every culture? And he realized that it was the hero's journey. And everyone listening is part of the hero's journey in their own story. They're in the ordinary world. They get a call to go to the special world. And you and I follow Built to Lead, Chet Scott. I mean, this is kind of, it all fits, right? It's in The Matrix. It's in every movie, Lord of the Rings. But Star Wars, we refuse the call. We say, nah, I'm gonna stay here. It's safe, it's comfortable, it's secure. I know what things are. But then we can't, because we're warriors. We want to grow. We want, you know, everyone who's listening to this is amazing, and they have this call to an adventure. So what happens is you have to leave the ordinary world for the special world. Usually you meet a mentor, and John's your mentor for today. And you know, Chet's been a mentor to me. You have certain guides, Obi-Wan, Gandalf, and then you have to face the enemy. Now, we think the enemy's external. We think, oh, it's Darth Vader, or, oh, it's Sauron. It's really you. It's really me. Like, Luke Skywalker had to face himself. Neo had to face himself. You and I have to face ourselves. This is the real journey. This is the real battle. Now, the way that we overcome the battle is through in our conversation, becoming unhackable, idea, focus, and flow. But once we become unhackable, we achieve what's called our boon. And your boon is like the Holy Grail. Your boon is the Death Star being destroyed. Your boon is the elixir, whatever. And once you achieve that, then you go back to the ordinary world that you left with the new knowledge. You know, you come back as a changed person. Well, here's the thing. Until you know what your boon is, you don't care. So the real thing is, like, if you just say, well, I'm not going to get hacked, you don't have enough of a cost to compare it with. I mean, that's impossible. Like, I'm not going to eat, you know, what is that going to do? You know? So what you need to do is you need to have this standard, this why, as Simon Sinek calls it. So your boon is your deepest desire, your greatest ache, your truest longing. Now, that's pretty big. Your deepest desire, your greatest ache, your truest longing. Let me give an analogy for people who are parents. If your parent, if your child was kidnapped or taken hostage, and you were told by the kidnappers, you're never going to see your kid again unless you have $10 million in London tomorrow night, all of a sudden, everything shifts. Even though we don't have the money, even though we don't have a passport, even though we don't have a ticket, because our dream, our child is being held hostage, we'll do anything to go and single focus, laser focus, rescue that child. It's the same thing with your boon. When you know your boon, your dream is being held hostage, and you're not going to see that dream again, you will become unhackable because you realize there's a cost. So it's foolish for me to give people tips and strategies and tools to become unhackable if they don't know what their boon is. And the cool thing is we actually have a process where people can discover it, and it's free. You go to unhackablebook.com/free, and you'll realize these questions. You'll know what they are, John. But it's Chet's 80 some questions about becoming a soul on fire. In other words, you'll say, what would I regret not doing if I died? What's my deep passion? Like, you start getting clarity about your boon, and suddenly you say, yeah, Netflix binging on that for 2 straight days is not going to achieve my boon. It's going to hack me from my goal. You see what I'm saying? So until Michael Phelps knows what a gold medal is and wants a gold medal, he has nothing to filter all of his other choices. But once he has that gold medal envisioned and says, here's what I want, now he can say, is this food going to help or hurt? Is this bedtime going to help or hurt? Is this exercise regimen going to help or hurt? But until you have that standard, you're just like, ah, you actually crave distractions. You actually say, come into my life, because it numbs the ache of this angst that we have in the 21st century.
Powerful stuff. You bring up what comes to mind, and we've both done work with Built to Lead.
Yep.
I've done work with you. You were the first one to introduce me to your program, The Deeper Path, a few
yes.
years back, which just transformed my life. So thank you for that. First off, this concept of acute versus chronic pain
yeah.
you talk about a lot, and I know it's not a lot in this book. It's I think it may be in there somewhere, but I think it's such a powerful concept, mm-hmm. and it just blew me away when you taught this to me a few years ago. Can you go through that? Because I think
yes.
that piece is important too.
Yes.
I'm looking to myths of listening and saying, "Yeah, I want to make a change. I want to become unhackable." What are those? What's acute
yeah.
and chronic pain?
So basically, We need to have a standard first. And the standard is that Ferdinand Foch said, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire. Saint Irenaeus said that the glory of God is a man or woman fully alive. L.P. Jack said, a master in the art of living draws no sharp distinction between work and play, labor and leisure, mind and body, education and recreation. They simply pursue their vision of excellence through whatever they're doing, and leave others to determine whether they're working or playing. To themselves, they always appear to be doing both. So that's kind of the standard, is this like no distinction, no separation. It's not like I have my day job, which I hate, and then I have my life, which I love. A lot of people think that that dichotomy can exist. You can have these pockets of your life that you love and hate. But to think about that, that's like saying, well, my arm has cancer, but I'm healthy. You know, my brain has cancer, but the rest of my body's good. Like, you can't divide humanity that way. You are who you are. So therefore, what most people realize is that they're in chronic pain. Like, John, you knew my story. I was in a day job that I tolerated, that was 80% okay, 80% my passion. And most people just say, ah, but that's how every job is. But the reality is that that means I'm 20% dead. That means that, like, all day Tuesday, which was meeting day, I go and disassociate. Now, disassociate is chronic pain. Disassociate is a counseling term where you leave your body, you daydream, because it's too painful to be present. So think about this. This is amazing. We get hacked when we say, my life is too painful to be in, the chronic pain, so I'm going to take these little bursts where I escape because it's too tough to be present. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes goes by, and you're like, whoa, I just scrolled for 30 minutes. I do this too. You know, like, what did you achieve? Nothing. What was your goal? Nothing. Like, you just went away, and it sounds like, oh, come on, dude. Just, what's the big deal? You know, like, everybody should just be able to go away mentally. Well, let's think about that for a moment. Because the alternative to being in chronic pain is acute pain, where you invite a little bit of pain, like this conversation. This is not a Hallmark conversation that we're having today. This is a look in the mirror. What areas of your life are you getting hacked? And most people are like, psh, next channel, next channel. But just like the Matrix talks about, we know where the end of that road leads. And it doesn't lead to satisfaction. It doesn't lead to a life worth living. And so a lot of people simply just live the unlived life. You know this quote, I love it, by Carl Jung, Swiss psychologist. What's the most damaging thing in the life of a child? It's not abuse, it's not alcoholism, it's not abandonment. It's the kid seeing their parent live the unlived life. Because they say, this is my hero, this is my mom, this is my dad, this is, you know, even if you have teenagers and you think, ah, they don't like you, they do. You're their example. And if they say, if mom or dad hates their life or comes home and has to veg out brain dead vegetable so that they can go back and do it all over again, what hope do I have? So this is why I get it, man. Like last night, true confession, 5:30 p.m. I'm done. It's the end of the day. I had dinner with the family, and I just got done with a book launch. I just got done having a big conference. And John, I started finding myself scrolling, and after about 20 minutes, I'm like, "What am I doing? Like, what am I doing?" And I said, "You know what? I'm gonna hop on the Peloton because you and I do that." And I said, "You know what? I'm gonna hop on the Peloton because I'm being a victim, and victims lie in bed, blame excuses and denial, BED." Victims say, the world happens to me. And I'll tell you what I was scrolling. I was scrolling about the elections. Like, I got caught up in that drama. Like, what about Biden? What about Trump? What about this? What about that? What if this happens? What are going to happen to stocks? This. The reality is, I can't control any of that. And rather than get hacked by the elections, I said, you know what? I'm going to go happen to the world. And a victor says, I happen to the world. They put their oar in the water and move forward. Ownership, accountability, and responsibility. And I'll tell you what, John, after 90 minutes on that Peloton, first of all, I fed my brain with some old Les Brown motivation. And it was fantastic. So my brain got stretched. The endorphins, which are neurochemicals, all started shooting through my body. And at the end of that 90 minutes, I felt on fire. I felt unhackable. I had pep in my step. Content started coming to me. And but this is an example of like, that's rare. Most people are just like, well, the next day, Trump and Biden again. The next day, Trump and Biden, like, that becomes their life. You see what I'm saying?
I do. There's so much there, and I think the thing that comes to mind I wrote down is just two words: emotions and the actions, right? And I think if you study this stuff in human psychology, our default is our emotional state drives us, right? So
Interesting.
that's a perfect example, I think, of not letting your emotional state drive you. Now it did for the 20 minutes,
Oh, yeah.
right? But then you said, I'm gonna embrace the acute pain, put that aside, and I'm gonna go hop on my bike. And what happened? 90 minutes later, my guess, not my guess, I know endorphins kicked in. Plus, I love the concept of you're batching a workout with listening to some
Oh,
film,
yeah.
books or whatever it is that it's, and then it's like a
Absolutely.
double whammy, right? So what, it's such a powerful concept that I constantly remind myself, and we're both been athletes for a long time. So
Sure.
you grow up playing sports all the time, and it's just you don't really think about it as much. And I've had to really almost reteach myself through the years of, oh yeah, I'm feeling a little bit depressed today. Well, guess what? I haven't worked out yet.
Yep.
Maybe I go break a sweat, and it's amazing every single time when I do that, how much better I feel. And I will say this, the times I don't want to do it are typically my best workouts.
Ooh, that's good.
At the finish, I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I? Why would I ever not do this? And I'm not going to pretend to say I'm perfect and do it 100% of the time,
Sure.
right? But I mean, same thing. This morning, I got on Peloton bike and did a little strength training. I woke up. I knew we had this. I have a couple of work calls today too, and was lying in bed for a minute, and like, I may hit snooze, and in all honesty, I think I hit it once or twice,
Right.
and then I got up, and man, just it's all weight for me. It's splashing a couple things of water on my face, brush my teeth. It kind of gets me going a little bit. And then I do. And as I get older, I have to warm up a little bit more than I used to, so I get a little warm up in it. Just hop on and start riding,
That's
right? And
right.
then it's amazing what that action, how that changes the emotional state.
And I'll tell you what, you're gonna be today a better dad, a better husband, you're gonna get more sales. Like it's holistic. And this is where companies, corporations, whoever's watching this, you need to realize, like, in fact, I sent that report to you. Lost focus. It's done by Dropbox. So it's a third party. This isn't like Carrie created this document to get sell books. This is by Dropbox because they wanted to do a legit academic research study on lost focus in the workplace. The average person loses 28% of their working year with distractions. That equals 34 grand per person on average. So think about that. Like, and especially with COVID and stay at home, it makes it more difficult. So I just want people to realize, like, if I'm a business owner, if I don't get my employees, if I don't get my team, if I don't personally lead the way and become unhackable, I think they said it was 349 billion dollars in the US that lost focus. So this is huge, and it's only going to get worse. And I'm not a pessimist. I'm not saying, oh, technology is the enemy. But if you've seen The Social Dilemma, you know that it's not neutral. Now they're saying, hey, let's use brain influencing technology so that we can literally shape behavior. And we've all had the thing where, I mean, I now speak out a product and I look and 12 hours later, there's an ad on my phone. It's like, okay, if you don't get a handle on this now, pretty soon you're going to be able to think things and it's going to show up on your phone. And so if you don't master this, think about it, we're in what's called the attention economy. The attention economy is measured with eyeballs and eardrums. So marketers, before they get you to pay cash, they get you to pay attention. Isn't that interesting? And I mean, I'm just going to show you, like, look at this. Since we've been on, 12 texts, Slack, and I purposely buried my social media in another folder so it doesn't pop up. That was one tip that I recommend. Don't have it on your home screen. Either get them off completely or bury it. But all I'm saying is, like, we could have had this conversation, and they call it fubbing. Fubbing is where you snub someone because you're choosing your phone. So as you're talking to me, I'm like, oh yeah, what's up? So think about this. It's now a relational cost. It's not just a productivity cost, but if John's sitting here and I'm like in a business deal and I'm you know, and I'm just checking this. It happened yesterday. A guy was doing this to me. And he was just looking like this. And it wasn't judgment. I didn't have judgment on him. But I'll tell you what, I felt a little bit fubbed. So you see how are you feeling right now, John?
Yeah.
You know?
Was this virtually or was this
No,
real?
this was in person.
In
But
person, yeah.
even on screens now, it's crazier because I could be sitting here, and I've done it, and all of a sudden you're like, oh crud, this meeting's happening, but I'm gonna look over here, and you know, and you can just feel the pull. And now we're saying that relationally, there's a cost. You might be thinking in the back of your mind, am I boring? Is Carrie, does he think he's more important than me? So it's not just productivity, now it's relationships. There's a term now, John, called digiphrenia. Not schizophrenia, digiphrenia, which means literally that you have a emotional cost of trying to be on multiple platforms as multiple people at once. Like, think about this. In the past, it was Carrie's either with John or he's not with John. Now, I'm technically living on LinkedIn. I'm technically living on Twitter. I'm living on Instagram. I'm living on Facebook. So I personally have multiple personas that I need to carry the weight of. And oh, did somebody respond to me over here and over here and over here and over here and Basecamp and Slack? And now all of a sudden you have this weight of, am I showing up okay? Is anyone waiting for me? You see what I'm saying? How
Sure.
crazy this is?
Absolutely. And it's only getting harder and more important that we're having the conversation, right? For people to take back control. I mean, to me, it's am I going to be reactive or am I going to be proactive? Because the
Yes.
challenge is not going away.
It's not going away. And let's just get into some really practical tips.
Yeah, sure.
Practical tips. Number one, don't have your phone in the room with you. And I know that sounds, well, my phone's my alarm clock. We'll get another alarm clock. Because I'll tell you what, there was a time a few years ago where I had rotator cuff surgery and my sleep got jacked. And what I would do, because I couldn't sleep, because you can't. You got to sit in a chair for 6 months or whatever and try to sleep. It's a joke, you know? But you'd get up and I would check my phone and I'd be like, well, so and so sent me a Slack message. I'm up. Might as well do it. And the brain just keeps going. And so there's that. Another thing is when you wake up, your brain is closest to a flow state. And we didn't even have time to get into flow, which is awesome. The optimal state of human performance, where you do your best and become your best. But in Unhackable, we show you how to create flawless ideas, integrate deliberate magnetic focus through three focus filters called agency, urgency, and energy. And then we get into flow, the optimal state of human performance. And just if people can imagine this, I want to show them an image because this image really helps. But it's idea, focus, and flow. I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah,
See
back
that?
up just a little bit. There you go.
Idea,
Yep.
focus, and flow. So the
Yep.
whole book is about the first part's about flawless ideas, how to create them. And then we talk about how to maintain focus, deliberate magnetic focus through those focus filters, and then how to create a life around flow. But your brain is closest to a flow state when you get up in the morning. And what do most people do within the first 10 minutes? They get on their phone. And so what happens is within the first 10 minutes of your day, you're already getting hacked. And here's what happens. It becomes reaction rather than response. So you're saying this email, that email, this headline, that headline, this tweet, that tweet. So literally your day, which is your most productive opportunity where you could slip back into a flow state and crush it, you now instead are getting hacked first thing.
Man, it is so powerful. And I think even in the book, you said, I want to say 46% of people check their phones the moment they wake up in bed.
It's crazy.
Something like that, right?
It's crazy. And it gets worse. I mean, think about it. One of our core desires as a human species is procreation, sex. And in the book, I talk about how people literally say, I'd rather go without sex than without my smartphone. So, I mean, this is now, I mean, if we looked at that and we were aliens and we came down on the planet and we said, this species would rather check a screen than continue as a human species, we would be like, that species is jacked. But yet that's the truth.
Yes.
isn't that crazy?
So let's dive in a little bit, because I love the Boone concept. Yeah. And I love the standard. That was big for me working with Built to Lead,
right?
Figuring out, hey, what do I believe in? What are my standards? Answering those questions and really thinking through, all right, well, when my emotions are one way, hey, one of my standards is actions lead to emotions, not the other way around. Right? Let my actions drive my emotion. Don't let my emotions drive my actions.
Oh, that's good.
That's one of my 30 or so standards, and I'll look at it and read it every week and go, oh, okay, well, hey, good reminder, dummy. Let's just step up and go break a sweat or do something, whatever
it is.
You know, there are times I'll do 10 push-ups before a meeting just to try and change my state a little bit, just to be more locked in. So I want to dive into, so Boone, why standards, I get that.
Yeah.
What's next? I know you talked about some of this. I know you can, obviously people can pick up the book.
Yeah.
How do you close the gap? And you have it on the close the gap between dreaming and doing. I think most people that are listening right now are saying, yeah, this all makes sense.
Yeah.
How do I close that gap?
Okay. So let's go into just three of the days of the 30. Yep. The focus filters. Urgency, agency, and energy. Okay. So here's the analogy I give. You're on a beach. You forget sunscreen. You sit out there for 3 hours. You get burned. Sun, skin, energy, you get burned. Crazy example, but how could you get burned in 3 minutes? Well, you could get burned in 3 minutes if you had a magnifying glass. Same sun, same skin, amplification of the energy. And what you could do is you could burn a hole in your skin. Now, let's take this as a metaphor. How could you burn a hole through your boon? How could you take your focus and become unhackable and literally burn through your goals and dreams and desires? Here's how. Focus filters. Focus filter number one, urgency. We have different levels of medical care. We say, if you got to go to the doctor, it's just calling up the doctor. But then there's this thing called urgent care. Urgent care costs more money. Urgent care says that if we don't get this dude fixed, there's a cost. And what I'm saying is that nobody has deadlines to their dreams. They're just like, oh, I want to write a book. Well, how long have you wanted to write a book? 10 years. Well, how you doing? I'm working on it. In other words, they get hacked over and over and over again because the deadline doesn't exist. So how do you get unhackable? What you do is you create a legit deadline, which makes it urgent. Because again, urgent says if we don't get this dude in the healthcare, he's going to die or there's going to be a serious penalty. Most of us don't have an urgent care situation for our dream. We never put on that lens called urgency. So what I'm telling people is you literally need a deadline and then with a cost. Now get this. One of our clients said, I hate the opposite political party. I hate him, and I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but they said, I hate him so much that if I don't achieve my boon by this date, I wrote the check to the opposite political party with a stamp and that thing sitting on my desk. And I know that if I don't achieve my boon, I'm literally sending that check to the opposite political party. Now, all of a sudden, when you're like, oh, look at that TV show. Hey, can you go out and go deer hunting? Hey, can you do this? All of a sudden, you're like, absolutely not, because there's a cost, urgency. You see what I'm saying? So that, I mean, that will get your butt moving. For me, John, delay, delay, year one, year two, year three, year four, all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? The conference theme this next year is unhackable. October 24th. I didn't have a choice. So all those times where, people were saying, hey, do this, do that, do this. I'm like, if I, the author of Unhackable, get hacked and don't have this in time for the conference, I'm gonna look like an idiot. So all of a sudden, John, you know what happened. I got super serious. I started to say everything else gets put below this as a lesser value. And I did it. But I had to create that urgency. Number two, energy. Energy. We all have limited energy. We use words like I'm drained, I'm fading, I'm burnt out, I'm running on fumes. Every one of these words says about us. We have a finite sense of energy. And so, what I do in the book is I teach you to regain your energy, you need to close open windows, just like on a computer. If you want your computer to run optimally, you cannot have 50,000 programs running because it's going to suck the RAM. So, all of a sudden, John, the exercise I do is I have three colors of post-it notes. People could absolutely do this. Actually, one color of post-it note, sorry, one color of post-it note, and then they put on their wall, do, delegate, or dump. Not delay. Jack Canfield, I'm gonna rip on Jack for a moment. Jack Canfield had delay. Delay, no way. Delay is saying I'm just gonna keep thinking about it and grinding about it and using up RAM in my subconscious. No. You write down every open window. Even the smallest one, John, like, hey, we should do lunch sometime. Yeah, we should. That's an open window. That grinds on your subconscious, which says, I got to do lunch with John. So you literally write down every decision, one per post-it note, put them all on a wall, and then you look and you say, do, delegate, or dump. And you close your open windows just like your computer should start running faster. And I'll tell you what it does, man. You look at it and you're like, oh man, I'm gonna dump that. I'm gonna dump that. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna delegate that. And your dues all have dates now. And all of a sudden, your energy, which is leaking with all these subconscious decisions, all of a sudden becomes laser focused. Make sense?
It does. It does. It actually reminds me a lot of David Allen's work in Getting Things Done. He talks about this concept of mind sweep.
Oh, that's good.
Having a trusted system, that's the power of that methodology, I think, is
I
you
love
have
it.
a trusted system so that when you're focused or when you're working on something else, you have trust that you're not losing anything because it's in your trusted system, right?
So
So you
good.
talk about program or those open windows.
So good.
Been such a big proponent of his work and keeping a list of
That's
things
so good.
away, so then when I'm talking to you, I don't have to think about the five other things I'm not doing because it's already in my trusted system. I can just go back to it after our call and
I
get
love
back.
it. And if you say, "Hey, Carrie, we should do lunch," I say, "John, let's schedule that right now."
Yeah.
Because what that does is it creates integrity.
Sure.
You start becoming more believable as a person because you start saying, "I just said we should, and now I've actually scheduled it." Or you say, "Man, we should, John, but I'll tell you what, I'm totally crushing this boon right now and I have this massive deadline. Let's revisit that in 2021."
Yeah.
Or even better, I can't do that right now.
Sure.
And you might sound like, "Well, that sounds like a jerk thing." No, what's actually a jerk thing is, "Hey, we should do lunch," and never schedule it.
For sure. You are great at that. And one of the things I learned from you is this concept of decision. And the word decide literally means to kill off. And when you make a decision, when you say yes or no, more importantly, no to something, and that's something I can get better at. Just ask my wife, she'll tell you I say yes too much, but I've gotten better at it. But man, that's a powerful concept, I think, of making decisions that.
If a tree is unhealthy, what you do to make it healthy is you cut off the branches so that the sap, the limited energy, can go into the few branches that matter. So you cut back and kill the other ones. It's the same thing with our lives. We're leaking power by being casually committed here and here and here and here. You start cutting off those decisions and you start showing up filled up. And then the last focus filter, super quick, agency, agency. Agency is where you say, "You know what? I'm an agent for the inputs that are coming into my life." In other words, when I show up at a doctor's office, they're all worried, like, "Oh my gosh, we made you wait 30 minutes. We're so sorry." I'm like, "I don't care. No worries." Why? Because I brought my AirPods, I brought my laptop. I create a space wherever I go where I'm in control of the inputs. Not I walk in to get an oil change and there's Donahue and stupid magazines and I'm just getting hacked. Instead, I'm an agent and I got to take responsibility for those inputs that are coming into my brain.
So good. I don't know if there's anybody out there that's doing it better than you, my man. Thank you for all you're doing. It's
Hey,
such
it was a
important.
blast. I love all that you're doing. And folks, if you found value in John's podcasts, subscribe and give some iTunes ratings because, John's a great source of inspiration. No, man, you're bringing on great people. And I just think that if people need help on this, go to unhackablebook.com. We have a free assessment that they can literally say, "Well, where am I getting hacked?" And all of a sudden it says, "Here, here, here." And it's that acute pain. It's saying, "All right, I'm willing to take a look and see." So thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I think we'll close with this. Unhackables carries latest work, but you can see behind, well, if you're listening, you don't see it, but he's got his books behind him. So he's got quite a few, some amazing programs, Deeper Path, Your Secret Name, Day Job to Dream Job. He's even written a fiction book called Elixir Project. Everything, I'm telling you, I really feel like God put Carrie in my path a few years ago, and not just from a business standpoint, from a personal standpoint, completely transformed my life. So, man, thank you for being that for me, being a catalyst and a mentor
Awesome.
for sure. And I'm telling you guys, go to it's carrieoberbrunner.com. If you just Google it, it'll pop up, and you'll see all these programs. You will not go wrong if you partner with him and his team. And how many authors now have you helped publish books?
We now have over 1,000 authors
Wow.
that are in process through Author Academy Elite. So yeah, if anybody has a desire to get a book out and not get hacked and finally get that book out, authoracademyelite.com. Love to help them.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you being on.
Awesome.
All
Thanks for having me.
right, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrenner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.